then the state of contemporary Christianity is as bad off as we all say it is. Because truth has fallen in the streets. I'm not saying everyone has to believe everything that I believe, though they ought to.
Amen,
but I am saying this, that intellectual transformation and transfiguration is a dimension of sanctification included in the writer of the Hebrews' discussion of the new covenant, that they all shall be taught of God. And if someone is not taught of God, I don't think that's the Holy Spirit's fault.
Amen.
The third dimension of vital evidence of sanctification through the great priesthood of Jesus Christ is in what we might call the emotional evidence of conversion. We hear much about sanctification as a moral thing, an ethical thing. We equate sanctification with dutiful holiness or dutiful resistance of that which is not holy. Don't do this, I'm sanctified. Do that, I'm sanctified. You don't hear very much about it. Well, if you believe this, you're not sanctified. And if you do believe that, you are sanctified. And my most recent point was that's an important element of sanctification. It's a basis upon which we can make spiritual judgment about whether a preacher is a truth teller or not. Or whether he's even a truth knower.
Amen, brother.
Amen. And boy, I have trouble with those guys who say they know it and don't tell it.
Yeah. Oh, brother. Come on, brother.
Oh, brother.
Come on, brother.
Just
come
a footnote.
Come on. No. Open it up,
my point is, Joe, that there is also, besides, an ethical and intellectual level to the sanctification wrought in us by a great high priest through the Holy Spirit, an emotional dimension. Take Paul's language for just a moment and think about it. This is Paul. Very plain. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ
in him,
Christ is not in him. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, Christ is not in him. Now, our great high priest did not die in vain. He died to save us from our sins. He died so that we might be the beneficiaries of the revelation of truth. But he also died that, like the wild man of Gadara, by his grace we should be sitting and clothed and in our right minds. Now I want to pass 9 things before you and tell me which of these 9 things most characterize your mental and emotional life. How about hate? How about sadness or sorrow? How about a sense of uneasiness, trouble or tumult? How about roughness or hardness with your wife or your children or your mother or your dad? How about a too often liability to fall into sin and to yield to temptation? What about impatience? What about doubt? What about arrogance or pridefulness of spirit? What about a lack of self-control? Maybe your eyes or your ears or your mouth or your thoughts? What do you got there? Well, here are the antitheses of those things. The fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about who you should be by the power of the Holy Ghost because of the high priesthood of Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be a person who is hateful. That is the antithesis of
love.
Love. Are you one of these cloudy Calvinists? Blue, despair, and agony on me. Oh, I'm so sorrowful about my sin.
Oh, really?
You know, people who wallow around in the mire of unforgiven sins, I think, are implicitly affirming that the blood of Christ is insufficient for them. Are you sorrowful because of sin? Or do you have a sad countenance? Is life really disappointing you? What about joy unspeakable and full of glory? Now, by the way, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not His. Let's keep that in the conversation. So thus far, that includes that you must be a person of love, and you must be a person of joy. What are you troubled about? Man that's born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. As the sparks fly upwards. In the world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But then he said, but let not your hearts be troubled. I have overcome the world. The fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy,
peace. Do you have it? If any man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Those who are redeemed by the blood of the great high priest have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, who are you too rough on? Children? Others? Spouse? If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness. Gentleness. What about your proclivity to keep going back, keep going back, keep going back to this sin or that sin? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from... He shall... That's not a mere predictor of the future. That's an affirmation of certitude. He shall...
Yes.
Save His people from their sins. Be holy, for God is holy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, and patience. Patience. You have need of patience, and that after you've done the will of God, you might inherit the promise. What about you? Do you have that dimension of the Spirit of the living God in you? Those of you who would denigrate the law, do you fail this way then? Since you're so superior and above the law, well, what about in the aspect of patience? Or the aspect of gentleness? Or in the aspect of joy? Or in the aspect of goodness? Or in the aspect of peace? Or did they go away with the old covenant as well? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, patience, faith as opposed to doubt, meekness as opposed to pride, and self-control as opposed to the wrestlings and wigglings and writhing of the serpent-stung flesh. Jesus Christ, the great high priest of God, has preserved God's holy law under His precious blood. And by His own blood, He has sprinkled not merely the integrity of the law, but the integrity of the law superseded by His own bosom. Transmitted that into the very hearts of His people. And with them, He's given them transformed minds and transformed spirits as well. Jesus Christ is the great high priest of a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Which tabernacle you are. If you are living stones built up for a spiritual house, holy and acceptable unto God. Which house you are. If in your house the Shekinah of heaven has come down to dwell in the righteousness of glory, to dwell in the majesty of light, and to dwell in the fullness of the graces of the Holy Spirit of God. May we stand.
I am so glad that I have a great high priest.
Amen.
Mediation, Savior. I speak for myself. I can't speak for you. I can't even speak for my wife or my own children. But I know that I do have a great high priest. I am so glad He did everything that needed to be done on my behalf. Right? Thank God for His precious blood. Now, Brother Hal, I'm not as good in the Greek as you are. I probably couldn't even tie your shoelaces in the Greek. But in Hebrews 8:6, when it says, there He's going to go, where did you put it?
I don't know. Okay. Hebrews 8:6.
Yes. When it says, speaking of Christ, and He says, but now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. That word He obtained is to kennel.
What word are you looking at?
The other thing. Is it this right here? Look. I have it.
Oh, it's very powerful. It means to seize with the hand, hold strongly.
But can it also be translated?
Procured?
But can it also be translated to get the mark?
I don't know. It's from the verb krateo, which means to seize and hold. So possibly I would have to look.
Well, that's what I've studied in some of the, some translated it, hit the mark. Sin is a transgression
of the law.
Of the law of God.
That's great.
One of the best ways that we can interpret or understand sin is missing the mark.
Yeah.
Right. We set up the target before us. Everyone in this auditorium, all of y'all, from the oldest to the youngest, every single one of us have missed that mark.
Right.
Not even close.
Right.
You missed the whole target. But let me tell you of one who has hit that mark.